Hello and welcome to the We All Succeed podcast, a podcast dedicated towards business strategies and practices that work. This is episode one, where I blindside one of my favorite clients, Retta Abraham, who is a former Wall Street banker. He engaged in the acquisition and selling of businesses previously, then changed his career, became the CEO himself, acquired a business, and is currently building a portfolio of businesses that all are engaging in that multiple million dollar mark as he acquires a business for a seven-figure sum and grows it up. Here's a real live conversation that we have. It's a little crunchy in that we had already had a long call, so it sounded out of integrity to have all of the hello and welcome for joining kind of conversation that you'd expect in a podcast. Any questions, go ahead, feel free to message us, feel free to reach out. We're very findable and real people. So enjoy. Hello and welcome to the We All Succeed podcast, a podcast dedicated towards business strategies and practices that actually work for real people in real businesses. Today, I'm joined by one of my dear and close friends and clients, Retta. Retta, thank you for joining.
Ryan,
Retta, tell us about the company that you recently purchased, Alehorn, and how you came to that.
Sure. And before I get into the acquisition of Alehorn, I'll just give you a little bit of background on who I was, who I am as a person, and kind of my past career and life. I was a healthcare M&A banker on Wall Street for 11 years before joining the e-commerce industry, and spent a lot of time across the board, largely in pharmaceuticals, but some in life sciences. Spent about 11 years working long hours. I started my career off at Lehman Brothers and slowly worked my way up the ranks. But I think at a certain point in time, I realized that technology was not serving that industry, and I wanted to be in a place where I could utilize my Wall Street skills, but then also utilize all the changes in technology and all of the technologies really available to entrepreneurs to buy and grow businesses. And so at the end of last year, we're sitting here in November of 2018, end of last year, December of 2017, I decided that that this is the path that I wanted to take, and really what that path is applying private equity strategies that were applied to $100 million companies and $1 billion companies, and applying that at the micro scale. So bringing that same rigor of analyzing investments, seeing opportunities, seeing how really what the potential of businesses are to grow, and to build a portfolio of these businesses, and really using leverage to accelerate growth. And so as I developed a thesis, and I still think it's a fantastic thesis, there's so many macro and micro pieces that continue to get me excited about the opportunity, I decided to move in and left my Wall Street career and bought my first business, which is called Alehorn.
So, Retta, thank you for that. There are some very, very important pieces that most people don't get visibility. And I think things that you probably also would have wanted to have been able to hear about moving into acquiring your first business. What issues did you run into and overcame? How did you overcome them?
So I wish I could say that it's all been roses. Actually, I'd say overall, to compare my existing role to what I was doing before, it's night and day, and it's fantastic, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Mm-hmm. I love being in control. I love the strategic thinking about developing businesses. I love the data, and really that's where I've really loved to dig in, and where I've found opportunities, just analyzing the data to see what's working, what's not, and how to accelerate and grow things, and how to turn things off. But there's been a lot of greats, and then there's been some learnings that I've experienced. And this has been, I've been in ownership since May 11th. So this has been about 6 months or so since I've acquired the business, a fair bit of time that I spent prior to buying the business, studying it. But I'd say probably the biggest things that I've learned about I'll just highlight the first one that I wish I probably spent a little bit time fully investigating, and that one that's been the biggest, probably the biggest pain point that's lasted this entire time, which is the ability for other people to sell on your Amazon listing if you aren't properly protected. And so what does that mean? Amazon will give you protection and will allow you to be the only person that sells your brand if you are granted a trademark by the U.S. Patent Trademark Office. And that trademark process can be very lengthy. And so when I bought the business, I was under the understanding that the trademark would be approved. And probably a few months, 6 weeks before the close of the deal, the U.S. Patent Trademark Office denied the application. And they gave us a number of reasons, but really it was the definition of what we were looking for from a trademark perspective relative to the name. And I don't want to get into the details, but I think just for people that are listening, be aware that if you are thinking about buying an Amazon business with hijackers on it, it will take a long time to get rid of them if you're going through the trademark process. And there are a couple other strategies. I won't get into those details to that may be able to accelerate that timeline. But at the end of the day, those hijackers can be very damaging to the account, because I'm in the business of buying, improving, and then selling the business down the road. If there are factors that are degrading the value of the business, such as somebody else stealing your sales, somebody else selling counterfeit items on your listing, and then you receiving bad reviews because of the quality of their product, those are things that can do some real serious harm. And I'm in the final stretch now of removing the hijackers, but I wish I was a little bit more savvy in understanding how the impact that they could have, and I wish I would have structured the deal differently to somehow capture the risk associated with the impact that those hijackers could have on the account.
So that's some fantastic advice right there. Looking at the channels in which your customer is going to acquire the products when you're acquiring a business, looking at the customer experience and backtracking that to try and find out what risks you're taking on that you may not normally have. There are some questions I'd like to ask you about the acquisition phase, the evaluation, if you're willing to talk about that.
Of course. And
one of the things that I get a lot of questions about is, how did you gather the funding, one, to acquire your business? How did you handle the acquisition of it and the valuation of it and what issues you had there? So I'd kind of like to handle it in that order. One, the funding that you acquired, where did you acquire it from loosely, and what was your strategy in acquiring the funding?
Sure. There are banks that will loan to individuals to buy businesses.
Right.
And, you know, this is a very specific niche, but several banks will lend to e-commerce businesses. And that's through the, and they do that through a federal program called the SBA program, where the federal government will actually back the loan, so that the risk that these other banks that are lending you the money, their risk is limited. So it's in their best interest to do some to obviously make good loans to people that are credit worthy and that have potential to really grow the business, and to make sure that loan is safe from the bank's perspective. But their risk is limited, so they're willing to take on a little bit more appetite, if you will, from a lending perspective, and to riskier types of businesses, such as e-commerce businesses that have been, you know, in establishment for just a couple of years, versus a more traditional bank that typically would do a SBA loan to a brick and mortar business that's been around for, you know, 15 years. And so that's something that's emerged recently that is a great opportunity for somebody that wants to get into the space.
Awesome. Great description. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people who really appreciate that as much as I do. When it comes to the visibility that you had, I know that you were dialed in really deep into the evaluation process, and that your acquisition, just so that anybody who's listening, this was not, you know, a 5-digit acquisition or even a 6-digit acquisition. We're talking about a 7-digit
sum of money, you know, in the two comma mark.
Yeah.
What extra detail did you spend? What issues did you run into? What did that look like for you? Walk me through that.
Sure. The evaluation, the screening evaluation and bidding process, I'd say it was pretty rigorous. I'd say I'd spent a full month doing that pretty much full time. I wouldn't say, you know, let's call it 6 hours a day for 30 days. And what during that time period, what was I doing? One, I was understanding all of the product that was currently on the market. And there are business brokers that specialize in selling e-commerce businesses, physical products businesses, SaaS technology businesses. And so one, understanding all of the available opportunities that were currently out there. That was step one. Two, I also looked at all of the historical items that were out there. And so you can actually find that information for past deals or deals that were failed, and start to build up a history of, you know, what transaction multiples were being, or what companies were being listed at relative to their operating income. And so we think about that from a transaction multiple perspective. How many times are you paying for the business relative to the profits that they generally generate in 1 year? And so, you know, it was just getting a feel for the types of opportunities that were out there from a multiple perspective. The other thing that I think is important is to develop relationships with the brokers themselves. And there are a couple that really sell high quality types of businesses. FE International, Digital Exits sell at the kind of $1 million plus range. Website Closers does a lot of stuff, big and small. I also have a relationship with a gentleman that holds businesses, but also buys and sells them as well, called Digital Exits. And that's actually where I bought my business. But to kind of summarize my month-long process, I probably looked at 1,000 different businesses, including brick and mortar businesses. I would track all of the different types of businesses. I would put a link into an Excel spreadsheet, and I would track down their operating profit relative to their asking price to calculate a multiple. I would write out for the ones. So of the 1,000, there would be a quick yes or no. I would say I whittled that down to probably 150 that I thought were decent and that I thought I should, you know, spend a little bit of time on. I would have a system for evaluating the growth potential, the riskiness, my personal interest in the business, you know, kind of the defensiveness of it. And so I had a whole grid, and I think each individual should start to develop a sense for what it is that makes a good business and to map that out. But yeah, I went through that. And from that 150, I think I had calls with 40 of the top 40 businesses that I liked. And of the 40, I submitted bids actually on 5 of them. So I was in a position where I said, if you give me this number, I would take this business. And I think that's an important part as well. When you're looking at bidding, you really have to be disciplined about don't fall in love with the business, fall in love with the purchase price and the deal itself. And so, yeah, being able to analyze a couple of different businesses and a couple of different proposed deals and line them up side by side also created a lot of leverage for me when I was negotiating with the seller.
Huge, huge nuggets, golden nuggets of advice. There were dozens stacked in there altogether. I want to digest that for a moment. Let's step away from it and we'll dial right back into the business. What is Retta's life like when you're not dialed into your business?
When I'm not dialed into the business, like
yes,
partners.
Yeah.
It's, I like to go to the gym and exercise. I think that it's a variation of a challenge. I've created, you know, this business and, this investment company as a challenge to myself, but I think the body is as much of a area to challenge yourself. And so, you know, I recently completed it's called Seal Fit Kokoro, which is a 50-hour event. Conducted by former Navy SEALs. And, you know, I didn't make it. There was 25 guys that started, you know, I was the 15th guy to drop after 20 hours. But it was, you know, overall, you know, I got my ass kicked by Navy SEALs for 20 hours, is pretty much as long as I could take it. And said that was enough. I actually thought the entire experience was amazing. And there's something about pushing the boundaries of what you're capable of doing. And that boundary was pushed by multiples relative to what I had done in the past. But I think that, you know, just the example of where how I like to live. I like to live on the edge, and I like to push the limit.
I love that. So taking that back into business, what are you doing right now to push the limit of Alehorn?
For me, it's not just Alehorn. For me, it's RDM Partners as a mm-hmm. whole. And so the real strategy, I think, is around developing a portfolio of these businesses, because there are learnings and understanding that you can apply from each one of these business, from one business across the board, and each one that's unique, each new portfolio, each new company that I acquire, there's also going to be knowledge that I acquire from that acquisition that can be applied to the initial company in the portfolio, Alehorn. And so I've certainly put the groundwork on the business itself, and we are executing. I have a team of probably about 12 people now working on the Alehorn business. But my mindset is around the productivity and the growth of the entire investment company. And so right now I'm actively looking for partners to do more deals with, and larger deals, and looking for smart money to partner with me.
When you say larger deals, what kind of number signs are we looking at?
Well, I think that there certainly is opportunity in the range of what I bought at, which is, you know, the million to $2 million range, where somebody's created something, they've really worked hard, usually by themselves, maybe with a couple other people, a couple of VAs, but they've worked really hard to create something on their own and are kind of tired and just want to get out of it. And sometimes they miss the vision of what the business could be. And I think there's great opportunity there, buying businesses in the $1 million to $2 million range and scaling them to the, you know, $4 to $5 million range. But I also think that there's value in having kind of a keystone business that you build, you know, like we used to call this a hub and spoke model during my Wall Street days. If you buy that hub, that centerpiece, and accentuate that centerpiece with spokes, the smaller $1 million businesses, I can buy a $5 million, develop a $5 million business, develop a strategy, and then really build out the portfolio with specific other assets that make the whole piece, the whole portfolio, greater than the individual components. So yes, everything below the $10 million range, I'd say I'd go up to five. I think above that becomes a little bit more of a long-term hold, call it 5 years plus, a traditional private equity. I think I'm in the business of growing over a shorter period of time, call it the three-year hold before exit. I think there's great opportunity in that space.
Huge. I want to make sure that we target the full picture of what you're trying to do. And usually you can do that by looking at somebody's exit plan, whether it's exit plan for a piece of the portfolio or the whole business or the whole portfolio, or maybe even just Retta. What is your exit plan with everything that you're trying to do? Do you expect to be doing this to the day you die? Are you looking to be out of it in 10 years? Where are you at with that?
Oh, you know, it's hard to think that far forward in terms of the specific. Yeah, you know, I think when I moved into this space, prior when I was in Wall Street, I thought that was what I was going to do for 20 years or 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. As a young guy, or at least 20 years. I now realize that doesn't really exist. And so a career is really dynamic and ever changing. So I can look forward and see myself doing this for 3 years, 5 years. But who knows what the next opportunity is after a, you know, a 3 year or 5 year period. And I want to be nimble enough to be able to pivot and say, wow, something's really happening over here. I want to be part of that and to be able to dive in. So we'll be continuing to buy businesses. And I think that there's going to be some form of that. What types of businesses will I be operating? Will it be physical products or will it be something else? Maybe fintech and blockchain. That's been something I've been spending time with reading and investigating. Who knows? But I was a former healthcare banker, so I'm always interested by biotechnology and what was happening in that space. And, you know, I like to be physical and take care of my body. So nutrition's always very, you know, interesting to me. So who knows where I'm going to pivot? I can tell you that, you know, I do have a goal with the businesses, with my current strategy and, you know, the number that I would like to make. And so, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years, let's see how this goes. And then who knows from there.
Awesome, Rudda. I really appreciate you jumping on here on this podcast here today with me. And before we go, before we let you jump away, because you shared a lot of very detailed back end information, the conversations that most people don't get to hear about business, on the We All Succeed podcast, to our listeners, do you have anything that you'd like to tell the people or request of them or things that you're looking for next to help you out a little bit for all this wonderful information and detailed stuff that you shared with us here today?
No, you know, I'm always looking for part of the roll-up strategy is looking for also operators. And so, you know, at a point in time, I was thinking, man, I don't really know if I am good enough yet to be able to be buying these businesses and managing them. Maybe it'd be good to just kind of get a taste for this and operate a business for a period of time. I think it can be quickly taught, but I'm always looking for great operators because for the example of where I buy the business from somebody else, they're tired after working for 3 years, putting somebody in place that's hungry to learn. That could be a great way for some of your audience to start. Learning the tips and tricks that I've established and then helping me grow that business can then become a great way for that person, that operator, to then transition after a year or two and maybe do that for themselves, start to buy businesses for themselves.
This is one of the many things I love about you, Rudda. When asked for, if you have any requests for anybody out there, what is it? Is I'm looking to hire people so that they can help me run my businesses and then go run their own stuff. Like, I love that about you. Rudda, you also have a charity that you sit on a board for. I feel like we would be remiss to not mention that as well.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I sit on a board. I was a soccer player growing up and learned so many fundamental leadership and team building and, you know, confidence that I instilled in myself from just being on the field every day and working hard work. And that's just something that will be with me forever. And so I wanted to share that experience with other young kids that are growing up. And the board that I sit on is called America Scores. And we support children in the New York region that are less fortunate and may not be able to pay for after school programming to help them with soccer. And we also do curriculum-based learnings in writing and poetry. And, you know, something I feel very passionate about. I think I've been very fortunate in my life and to then be able to give back in a meaningful way. And I do set my, it's interesting that you asked me before, you know, ultimately it is about giving back to others. And so this is a small step in that direction. I do feel very strongly about it. It's a fantastic organization. And I look forward to giving more there. And Brian, I've loved your support of the organization. So looking forward to continue to partnering, with you there. And before we jump off, I do want to just maybe share a little bit with your audience around things that I think would be helpful, you know, just the mindset of being able to, you know, basically leave your old self behind and create a new version of who you would like to become. You know, it's a very difficult transition, but having faith and believing in that's possible is important. And having a great group of people around you to be able to support you. Just look around. I do believe in that concept of, you know, you are the sum or the average of the five closest people that you keep around you. And so I carefully manage and watch who I spend time with and who I hang out with. And I'm lucky enough to be able to spend a lot of time with Ryan. So I'd advise all you guys to do the same and really think about who it is that you're spending your time with and how you're and who exactly it is that you want to be as a person and the steps that you're taking to get there.
Awesome. Retta, I was actually just about to ask you if you had one last thing, you know, to tell everybody, what would that be? Yeah. I feel like you've kind of taken that slot, and I love it. You're ahead of the game, Retta.
I jumped right in.
I jumped right in.
Make sure I got my 2 cents in there.
Everybody. Yeah, absolutely. What is one thing, then this is the last thing that I want us to leave on. What is something that you wish somebody had told you 6, 7, 8 months ago, you know, moving into doing this, something that you really wish somebody had sat you down and went, by the way, Retta, something that you should probably know, blank.
I'd say that this has been, I kind of knew that it was going to be challenging, but there's just so many new things, especially from my finance background, that I've had to learn. You know, it's how deep do I go? Do I need to learn everything or just enough to be dangerous? I think as advice, just expect to, if you haven't done this before, expect to spend a lot of time learning new things. But I think I'd also highlight the need to have great people around you that have done this. Think about finding a mentor that has experience in this space. And to have them be kind of your sounding board so that you have somebody to go to with all these questions. And that makes the transition that much easier.
Awesome. Well, Retta, thank you so much for today. We definitely want to have you back on the We All Succeed podcast, especially when you're in the middle of doing your next round of acquisitions. So you can give kind of an active, you're deep in the trenches with that and what that looks like. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, man. Awesome to speak with you. And hopefully this is helpful for people.
Absolutely. That is the goal of the We All Succeed podcast, dedicated towards business strategies and practices that work from people that do work and are making it happen.
That was the We All Succeed podcast, first episode, Retta. And we talked about Aylhorn. We talked about more. We actually talked about his investment portfolio and firm. He has a huge intellectual property when it comes to finances and the acquisition and moving forward scaling of businesses. If you actually want to go ahead and reach out to him, that is fine. He is a very accessible person. So am I, Ryan Drew Donaldson, very accessible business strategist. In fact, it's more than that. We have a Facebook. We're going to go ahead and actually make this a real podcast. This was just kind of the first episode, seeing how we like it. And so far, we loved it. So thank you for your continued support. Thank you for being part of episode 1. Please feel free and encouraged to download the future episodes as we really dial in and make this podcast better and better together. Thank you.